Welcome to the Maura Sweeney Podcast. Maura is an international speaker and the trademark ambassador of happiness with a passion for personal responsibility. She weaves insightful questions with personal stories to challenge your mindsets and empower your best and happiest self from the inside out. Here's Maura with today's podcast for you.
Have you been living inside your own Truman Show? Well, if you're on a path to living happy from the inside out, I hope you enjoy today's podcast. I ask the question, are you living inside your own Truman Show? Because the movie itself was a great example of how we could all get caught in a day that we continue to live over and over again and realize when we open our eyes that at some point we've been contained and didn't even know it. So I'm going to share a little bit about that movie and the parts of it that I found intriguing and fun, in one case hysterical. And then, as I always do, I'm going to share a personal story where I witnessed an example of the Truman Show. And then at the end, I'd love to challenge you to see if you've ever thought to step out of your own Truman Show, hopefully for something good, strengthening, and happy. So let's get started first with the Truman Show. Most of you have probably seen or heard of this classic movie that stars Jim Carrey as an individual by the name of Truman. And Truman is, he's a sympathetic character. He's simple-minded in the sense that he just goes through life happy-go-lucky, doesn't really give much thought to anything, and accepts everything in the world around him as being what it is. He's never been one to question things. And probably as the movie starts to develop, you realize he might never have had a reason to question things. Well, if you haven't watched the movie, or even if you had, Truman was such an interesting movie because Truman had actually been living a false life probably from his earliest childhood, where he was fully fashioned by outside forces, influences, suggestions, and then even reinforced messages. So basically his entire identity, every story he'd heard about his life, even photographs about his early years were all put there around him to give him a certain belief system. The one I thought was awfully cute is that his mom had shown him pictures of himself as a little boy when he went with his dad and mom to travel somewhere in America. And it's clear when we look at it, watching the movie, that the photographs have been photoshopped. But there you get naive Truman, who has no idea. Whatever he was told about his early years that he doesn't remember, he's all too happy to agree on. Now, one of the interesting stories that Truman was told about his past is that as a child, he must have been on some kind of a boat. Truman apparently lived on an island and went with his family on a small boat and got into some trouble and nearly drowned. That story was told to him over and over again. He didn't remember it, but I'm sure he convinced himself that he did. And he didn't question the story either. But in it, he was always told about how much he had been afraid of the water ever since he got into the accident or the near drowning on the boat. Now, I want you to think about that. When an idea has been implanted in your mind over and over and over again, especially by people you love and trust and look to for advice and guidance, in this case, Truman's parents, or more specifically, his mom. So Truman basically made a life on this island, and the island was protected. It was pleasant. Truman got married. He had his friends. He had a job. Everything was fine on the island. Well, what Truman didn't realize is that Truman was living a reality TV show. And the island itself was the setup for the show. It was the actual stage for the show. And had Truman known anything beyond that, he would have realized that the very island he lived on and the story that surrounded his life in the island of his being afraid to leave the island was because the producers of the show wanted to keep him there and sequestered on the island so they could watch. Well, there was one part of this show that made me laugh out loud, probably because it struck such a familiar chord. It was when Truman must have just one day caught the slightest little glimmer of, I would say, something that didn't add up. It was the awareness of something, let's say, inside his matrix that didn't compute with the world that he thought he lived in. And just that one little flash of a moment made him start questioning. He questioned people, he questioned events, he questioned everything around him. And that's probably what made the story so enjoyable for people like me, because it was a story of self-discovery and of maybe challenging belief systems that, you know, we had all grown up under one way or the other. The part of the movie that made me laugh and was maybe a defining moment or one of several defining moments for Truman is that he thought one day about actually leaving his island. And somewhere, the controllers who were responsible for the production of this Truman Show reality series heard that Truman had plans to leave the island, because as long as Truman felt that it was dangerous to leave the island, he'd be staying there. Nobody needed to be concerned. Well, all of a sudden, you could see all the extras in the Truman Show suddenly creating such a back, what would I say, like just loads and loads of traffic, so that Truman in his car was not able to leave the island due to all the sudden traffic. Now, I remember laughing out loud and I thought, isn't that so funny? He's trying to get off the reservation and the producer here is making sure that he's going to be all confused and think, oh, it's too much work. Forget about it. I'll go back to my own life. Now, there's a second level to this Truman Show, and it's the level or the layer of, I would say, the watchers. Those who are living outside the show, those who are watching Truman on TV as an ongoing reality show, probably having watched Truman for years. And you could see people in ordinary life situations watching him with great interest, to try to find out what Truman is going to do and how his life is going. You also notice that as Truman starts to question his own life and the confines and the stories that he's been told about his life, suddenly the people who are on the outside start to cheer for him. They sense that Truman is growing up, that Truman, he may be physically tall and grown up physically, even maybe somewhat intellectually, but they're cheering him on because now Truman is growing in other ways. He's growing in self-awareness. He's growing in critical thinking. He's growing in many, many ways. Maybe he's starting to test some of his own boundaries and move forward. And you could see people are out there, you know, just cheering him on. It was very funny and very exciting. Well, if you've ever watched the movie, and even if you hadn't, you would learn that Truman ends up going on a small boat off the island, and he's basically testing the edges. Now, we as viewers are watching this, and we suddenly realize a voice comes and speaks to him as if out of heaven, out of the ethers, and the voice is the voice of the producer of the show. You might want to look at it as another way. You could say it could be the God of the Truman Show, the God who created this bubble effect that Truman was living in. And he starts to question Truman, are you sure you want to do this? If you keep going, you could be in very dangerous territory. And basically, he's playing out to Truman all of the messages that we may give to ourselves when we're about to test our edges, our boundaries that we had carefully remained in prior to? Well, you can imagine by the end of the show, everybody is cheering Truman on as he continues to move forward, gets right to the edge of the set, which really is almost like a big dirigible. And he sees the end of what appears to be the earth, the sky, whatever, and discovers the door. The door is the ultimate exit door to not Truman's world, not the Truman Show, but the bigger world, the bigger cosmos, the place where all of these onlookers on the outside, in the real sunlight, in the real fresh air, in the sense of awareness, have been watching him. And Truman becomes the hero of the show because he steps out of the door in spite of all fears that he may carry, and he steps out into the light. That's a great, great story for all of us about life, about the confines we live under, about the thoughts we live under, and about the ways either that those around us or we ourselves adopt to put limitations on our belief systems, our awarenesses. And then how about this one? Even the edges of our potential and possibilities. So that's the Truman Show. Now, I want to give you an example of a Truman Show that I actually felt I was part of, or let's say better, that I experienced. Many years ago, I had this rare opportunity to go to two islands in, in Lake Victoria, which is in Uganda, on the continent of Africa. And I was so excited, even though I knew going to Africa was going to be a different experience for me, having grown up right near New York City and, you know, being aware of whatever I am in my own life. So I just want to give you my story and share how we all can have our own Truman moments in so many different ways. And maybe in the midst of those places, we can step out and step beyond and maybe find ways to get into a little bit brighter light. But this was an unusual experience. And before I went, I knew that I would be staying in a self-pitched tent. I knew that I would be on an island that didn't, I don't even know if they had outhouses, because I think we just had to go to the bathroom somewhere in the weeds. But I was so excited anyway to go. But again, as I said, I don't want to say the word was afraid. I was curious, but maybe a little bit anxious, whatever. So I flew from Florida probably to New York the first night or two I spent with some hosts in Northern Ireland. You know, pretty much just like the United States. From there, we met with a small group and flew to Brussels, Belgium. And from there, we boarded another plane. And I could remember getting on this plane that would take us to the country of Uganda. And I thought as soon as we stepped on it, wow, I never had been on a large airplane with that many people. It was like somebody took all the chairs and smushed them all together. So it was my first sense of all of a sudden going into a different environment. So from there, we took the flight. We end up in the capital city of Uganda, which is Entebbe. Quite a nice city, but again, different now from the United States or Europe. The first night, we stayed at a very nice hotel in Entebbe. It was close to the downtown area, and it was very pleasant. And we were told that the following day, we would be taking jitneys and going about an hour and a half outside Entebbe to a secondary city where they only had electricity a few hours a day. Okay, so this was yet the next step we would take. That was fine enough. We probably spent a night there. The following day, we got into jeeps. I believe there were two jeeps. And we took about a two-hour jeep ride along a lot of dirt roads, I would say. By the time we landed at our supposed destination, there weren't even roads at all. They were dirt only because people, I guess, were traveling along those roads. And we stopped at the waterside of Lake Victoria, which is quite a large lake. And I remember as they dropped us off, they said, well, we'll be back here a week from now. And the only thing that might stop us is if we end up with a lot of rain, because if we have a lot of rain, the dirt becomes mud and we cannot drive in the mud. So you'll just have to wait until everything dries up, which maybe have been like a day or two later. So we all get out. And the next thing we know is that two boats appeared. And these boats were actually tree trunks that were cut lengthwise in half, and then they were gutted out, and that gutted out area became a place for us to sit for the rest of our trip. And our hosts happened to have some motors that they put in the very back of the boat, and we're on Lake Victoria. So we take off. I don't remember how long the trip was, but we went to two islands. The first island, which I believe had seen people coming in from outside areas prior, and then the second island, which did not have a name. The island had no name and probably had no need for a name. They used to refer to it only as Fly Island, F-L-Y. And the reason was, as I would find out as soon as we arrived, that every day at about maybe 4 p.m., a swarm, I mean epic swarm of black flies would come in and literally surround the island, especially right near the water, and to the point where you could barely open your eyes and you certainly didn't want to open up your mouth because the flies would end up in your mouth. And I remember it was exactly as we arrived on the island. I thought, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. It was so overwhelming to me. I almost felt like I stepped back in biblical times during the plague or something that I wanted to laugh out loud. Then I thought, oh my gosh, I can't even laugh because I'll end up with my mouth full of flies. So it was an experience for me, but you could sort of understand that there's been this progressive sense of leaving one environment that I lived in, which might have been my own Truman Show back in the United States, and was stepping in to another bubble area known as Fly Island. And so a friend of mine that I was traveling with and I, we both pitched our tent. And then I realized while I was there a couple of things. And I found it very interesting because I thought, imagine that these people are living on this island in the other part of the world. They have no idea that I live on my side of the world, and up until now, I had no idea that people lived like this. Well, everyone happened to speak English, lots and lots of little children, a number of moms, very few men. It was at a time when AIDS had pretty much taken out so much of the male population that there was one gentleman there who brought us to the island. He was 40 years old, and I remember him telling me, you know, Maura, I'm 40. I am considered an old man in my country because men don't live this long due to, you know, the AIDS situation. So needless to say, it was a very unusual setting. The people were quite fun and darling and enjoyable. They lived a really, really simple life where every day was pretty much like the day before. And everyone lived in their own hut. They had, I remember one pail that they would use, and it was made out of plastic. So it was fabricated somewhere else. And I remember thinking, I wonder how it got here. And they would use it for washing clothes. They would use it for washing dishes, but everybody pretty much lived the same way. And, every afternoon, people would, after the flies took over, they would go and they would fish. Somehow the fish would come up from the water, they would eat the flies, and then the fish would die. And that would become that day's meal. Well, I will tell you, the food there was unbelievably great. Same food every single day. We had a lot of pineapples, as I remember, and a couple of other things. The food was unbelievable. But here we were on a version of The Truman Show, and I'll tell you why. For one thing, when I arrived, I don't think anyone there had ever seen anyone with light skin. And as I said, there were loads of children, and they came up to me, and I was saying hello to them, and they're trying to rub my skin as if to say, how did she get this way? And how do I get back to the brown skin she should have? And they laughed hysterically, and so did I. But then secondly, I could remember I brought out a picture of my daughter, who at the time was probably in preschool, and they looked at her because they were around the same age, and they're giggling as if to say, I never saw another person look like this. So you could see how we do live in various ways, places, and experiences in our own Truman Show, where we're aware of only what's around us and not necessarily aware of things that are outside our sphere. Well, here's the biggest thing that was my takeaway in terms of a Truman Show by being on Fly Island in Uganda. I learned while I was there that the people never left the island. And the reason why is that they had a belief. Now, I'm not sure who started it, but it was a very entrenched belief that if they went into the water, they would be consumed by some demonic force. So they would fish, but they would never go into the water to bathe. They wouldn't step out of, you know, out onto the water to travel anywhere else. And I could remember at one point I had an opportunity to address a group of people there. And I remember thinking to myself, how can I communicate to them some ideas when they've never seen a car? They have never seen an airplane, or if they did, in the rare event maybe that one was flying over their island, maybe they thought it was some kind of a bird. I'm not sure. They were unaware of the continent of Europe and certainly had no idea there was a place far, far, far away known as the United States. And I remember thinking, how do I convey to them some ideas, knowing that their concepts and their awareness of the world did not go beyond the island? I also remembered there was a lot of fear there. You know, the sense of the men dying very young, the sense that the water had demons in it or some unknown entity that could kill them. And so it was a wonderful time, but it was a very, I would say, instructive time for me, because I always give thought to, where do I live? Where do I live in my head? Where do I live socially? What's my perspective like? Do I think I know everything? And I obviously, the answer is always no. But how many ways do we as individuals assume that because we once heard something, or like Truman, we had a message presented to us by those that we look to for guidance, those that came before us, those that maybe know more than we do, who are controlling our thoughts and therefore controlling our emotions and our behaviors and, let's say, our potential. Think about that, our potential. I've sometimes wondered to myself, am I living in the Truman Show each and every day of my life? Are there ideas that I have acquired and adopted from whatever realm, it doesn't matter, that really limit and restrict me, where I'm absolutely adhering to something like a fear that I was told to have that really doesn't have a good basis in fact? And if I do, I always like to know, what is that thing, so that maybe there's a door somewhere for me, in similar fashion to what happened with Truman, that I didn't even know existed because I wasn't willing to go there. And even when I got a little bit closer, I maybe didn't have the courage to actually put my hand on that door, turn it in spite of the fears that I had, and walk out not only into sunshine, but into the presence of people who are shouting, clapping, and laughing and applauding to say, you go, girl. You go. You go. You did it. You stepped out of your own protective zone and you stepped into a bigger setting, a happier setting, a freer setting, and a more expansive realm. I hope today you'll give a little bit of thought, or let's say this. How about this? and awareness to the possibility that you too, somewhere in your life, might have been confined and controlled inside your own Truman Show. And if you've ever watched Truman, I want you to really think about how happy and expanded he felt and his life became after he walked through that door. So that has been my thought for you today. I would love for you to write back to me. I'm Maura at MauraForYou.com. Let me know some of your experiences, your thoughts, and any outcomes that came about after you decided to step out of your Truman Show too. Well, until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura For You, inviting you to live happy from the inside out. Bye-bye.
For more insights on living happy from the inside out, subscribe to this podcast. To learn more about Maura, visit her MauraForYou.com website, where you'll find videos, blogs, books, and the Foundations of Happiness self-study e-course, Maura, number 4, letter U.com, where Maura is always for you.